best in original talk radio broadcasting on the internet. It's LA Talk Radio. We say what we want. Listening to Answers for the Family with Alan Cardoza. Only on LA Talk Radio.
Welcome to Answers for the Family. I'm your host, Alan Cardoza. Every Monday from 11 a.m. Pacific Standard Time to noon, my guests and I will bring you answers and options to raising children today and in our constantly changing future. And what better way to learn what tweens and teens are thinking than to ask them? So with that in mind, my guests today are my fantastic sons, Chase and Blaze Cardoza, and their incredible friend, Mason Clevenger. Good morning, guys. Say hello to our listeners.
Hello.
Hi.
Hey.
Okay. Starting with Mason, and one at a time, tell us a little bit about yourself. Or tell our listeners a little bit about you.
All right. My name's Mason Clevenger, and I'm a student at Fountain Valley High School. I play for the Barons. I'm freshman 14 years old.
And I believe you are captain now of the football team?
Yeah, I just became a captain.
Congratulations.
Thank you.
Chase?
I'm Chase Cardoza, and I'm a student at Marina High School, and I'm 14.
Okay, and what are your favorite things to do?
Skate.
Skate and what?
Dirt bike.
Dirt biking,
yeah.
A little karate maybe?
Yeah.
All right. And Blaze.
Hi, my name is Blaze Cardoza, and I'm a student of Marine View Middle School, and I like to play video games.
Okay. And speaking of video games, I want to talk a little bit about the fact that in just one generation, the way kids play has changed drastically. It used to be that we couldn't wait to get outside and play. Now, with 500 channels on TV and thousands of video games out there, many kids don't want to leave their house. What do you think is a fair amount of time to be playing video games? Chase? Per day, anybody. I mean, give me a little idea. What do you think is a reasonable amount of time to play?
I don't know, maybe like an hour just to like relax, like just use their video games as relaxing.
Okay, so you would say that you'd be happy if your parents allowed you to use a video game an hour a day?
Yeah, or however, whenever I'm relaxing, just hanging out at home, nothing to do.
Okay. What are some of your favorite video games? And let's start with Blaze.
My favorite video game is Halo.
Okay. Now, tell our listeners a little bit about it, because you've got a lot of adults. Now, hopefully some of you adults out there got our press release, and you got your kids or other kids that you know to listen as well. But tell our listeners, mostly parents, a little bit about Halo, somebody who maybe has never seen it before.
Halo is a fun action game. It's rated M, and it's pretty violent.
Okay. Now, tell us a little bit about what the M stands for. I mean, I think some people know it. It means for mature, but I believe that Halo, unlike some of them that are rated M, Halo doesn't have any, I don't think there's any cussing, there's no nudity, but I think that there is some violence, but the violence, I believe, is against aliens. Is that right?
Yeah.
Yes.
Okay. Okay. Mason, what's your favorite video game?
The new video game that just came out, Madden NFL 09.
All right. Well, tell us a little bit about it.
It's a football game. It's the newest one that just came out for the NFL. And me and my dad, we play almost every day. As much as whenever we see each other at home, we play each other. I kill him every time, but, you know, he still tries. He still tries. But I mainly just wreck him. What about you, Chase?
I've never played it, but yeah, I like to play MX versus ATV Untamed, and yeah.
Okay, now tell us again. Remember, you're talking to listeners that may not know what these games are, so tell us a little bit about what that game is.
It's a video game that you you can choose to ride, drive like a monster truck or something like that, or a dirt bike or quad, and then you race other people if you're going to go online or something like that.
Okay. And does it help you at all with, you know, when you do those things in real life? Obviously, as your dad, I know you also ride motorcycles. Do you learn anything from that that you go, hey, you know, I should shift my weight a little more this way if I want to do this trick or something?
No.
No?
Actually, in Madden, it kind of helps me understand the game more, actually. The more I play it, just helps me understand the game and,
The thought process behind it? In other words, more like how a coach looks at it rather than how a player looks at it?
Yeah, and they got so much more stuff on it, like you can hire agents for you now and a bunch of stuff, training camps. And
that's nice. I like that. Blaze, what other video games do you like? And tell us a little bit about them. Is there any other video games?
No.
Okay, now what about, now I've watched you a little bit with the Halo one. Because these are aliens, I mean, do they like bleed a different color? Or?
Yeah, they bleed blue and purple.
Okay, so, I mean, I'm gathering then, I mean, you see the difference. In other words, I mean, that one as opposed to some of the other ones, you don't really feel like it's as violent towards humans because it's against aliens?
Yep.
Okay.
It's not that bad. I don't even know if it should be rated M. I mean, it's not, it's just alien blood and like, I don't know, it's not, it's just blue and purple, and rarely you'll see like your Marines getting shot or something. And it's like plasma stuff. It's weird. It's like a blue bullet. It doesn't even look real.
All right. Well, I did a little research, and I noticed that there was a poll taken by a video gaming company that asked parents, what would you most be concerned about if your 17-year-old child... what would you be most concerned about your 17-year-old child doing while spending the night at a friend's house? And the options that they could check were drinking alcohol, smoking marijuana, watching pornography, or playing... of the video game Grand Theft Auto. Now, what do each of you think parents were most concerned about out of those four things?
I'll go first. I'm going to go with the smoking marijuana because, you know, I mean, the other stuff, they're bad, but drinking, I think it would be more of like a, I don't know, not just like going over to a friend's house, but like maybe something bigger. And then Grand Theft Auto, I mean, that's a scary factor, but smoking marijuana, that's pretty bad, and you could just kind of hang out with your friend and do that.
Okay. Chase, what do you think?
Yeah, I have the same.
You agree with Mason?
Yeah.
Okay. And Blaze?
Same?
Okay. Now, before I tell you what the results were of it, of the four choices, what do you think parents... were the least concerned about between the drinking alcohol, smoking marijuana, watching pornography, and playing the video game Grand Theft Auto? Blaze?
Grand Theft Auto.
Okay. Chase?
Grand Theft Auto.
And Mason?
I'm going to go with Grand Theft Auto.
There we go. It is unanimous. Okay. Now, here is the statistics that they came up with. 14% of the parents thought that... that they would be most concerned about their child drinking alcohol. 50% thought that smoking marijuana would be their biggest concern. 17% were concerned most about watching pornography, and 19% about playing the video game Grand Theft Auto. So that was a little surprising to me. Not the part about the marijuana. I think you guys were all correct on that one. But I was a little bit surprised that they were more concerned about their child playing Grand Theft Auto than they were watching pornography or drinking alcohol. What do you think of that?
Yeah, I mean, that is pretty bad. I would have guessed that the drinking was probably second, but I don't know. I haven't played the newest Grand Theft Auto. Maybe it is pretty bad.
Okay. Well, and actually, I've got a question for Chase and Mason. I think, as everybody heard... as everybody heard when they first came in. We have Chase and Mason that are just going into high school, and Blaze that is just going into middle school. So my question for Chase and Mason is, what advice would you give Blaze or any sixth grader out there going into middle school for the first time?
I would say don't like go under pressure, or don't fall into peer pressure or something like that.
Okay, that's good. Yeah, don't fall under peer pressure. Don't feel like you have to do things because other people say it. I like that.
That's a pretty good Mason? One. That's a pretty good one. I would go with set goals for yourself by the end of your eighth grade middle school year.
Okay.
Just set goals throughout the middle school and then make sure you have a big one at the end.
Okay, now go into a little more detail on that. I like that, but give him a little more detail.
Like set goals for anything, like grades. You want to have a substantial, like 3.8 the whole year, and or all 3 years, and then you want to make sure that you have friends that won't pressure you into things, and make sure you have good friends, and don't get grounded 5 times in like 1 month, and lots of different stuff like that.
That's great. Well,
and,
go ahead.
And try not to get into a lot of fights.
Well, let's try not to get into any fights.
Yes.
Actually, I like those. But I'd also like to, give some suggestions in regards to the class, you know, the different classes. I mean, are there particular classes that you think are good to take, or classes that you think really were not that helpful in middle school?
Pretty much all of them were pretty helpful. The thing with classes is that, you always want your friends in your classes, but you got to make sure you like the teacher. That's probably the biggest thing.
Mm-hmm. Well, in regards to setting goals, what do you think motivates, and this is kind of for all of you, but what is the best way to motivate? I know that we as parents, you know, we'll try to motivate. I mean, some parents will try to pay for grades. They'll try to, you know, they'll ground you if you don't reach certain levels. I'm of the belief that I want you trying as hard as you can. I mean, do your very best. We're all different. It may be a lot easier for one person to get an A than it is for somebody else to get a B. So I think it comes down to effort. But what would you recommend parents to do that you think would best motivate you to be the best you can be in high school?
Grounding, that certainly helps, but don't be in their face too much. You know, bribes would probably be the biggest thing. Bribing them if they get good grades, give them money or whatever they want, the cool new game, and you could ground them if they don't get it, but don't be in their face all day, every day.
Okay. Anybody else? Nothing else you want to add? Okay. As we know, school is starting this week. There's interesting trains of thought in regards to who's happier about it. And there was a network television news show that conducted a poll asking parents and teenagers who they thought were most happy about school starting again. Who do you think was happier about school starting, the parents or the kids?
I think the kids are more happy about starting school till about, well, we start school on Wednesday, so they're going to be happy till about Friday. Then after that, the parents are probably going to be fine with it.
Blaze, who do you think is happier, the parents or the kids?
Parents.
Okay, and why?
Because they want their kid to get smarter.
Okay. Okay. And Chase?
probably parents.
Okay. And why do you think?
Actually kids, because you get to hang out with your friends or meet new friends, and yeah.
Okay. Well, here are the results. The results were that 68% said the parents were happier, and 32% said the kids were happier. So I think what they're saying is there was probably a lot of parents that had their kids all summer that went, okay, I'm done, I'm tired, get them back in school.
Yeah, same thing with the kids. They haven't hung out with their their friends all day long. They gotta get there till about 3 days, and then they don't want to be in school anymore.
Yeah.
Till the homework starts kicking in, then it's over.
There you go. All right. What is each of you looking forward to most as you go back to school? Blaze, lean in a little bit. What are you looking forward to most about going back to school?
Friends.
Okay, so seeing a lot of the friends that you didn't normally see throughout the summer. Okay, Mason?
Yeah, probably friends, and then my football games start at when school starts, so I'm going to be excited about that. That's going to be fun.
All right.
Beating Edison. Yeah.
There you go. Get your digs in now.
Yep.
All right. Chase?
Yeah. I'm going to the football games and, yep. And seeing Marina beat the Oilers, the Vikings. Yeah.
Okay. Seeing the Vikings, which is Marina,
yep.
beat the Oilers, which is Huntington. Okay.
And see the Barons beat all of them.
Ooh.
Ooh. Yeah.
That sounds like fighting words now.
Yep.
All right. Okay. What is each of you least looking forward to as you go back to school?
The homework.
The homework. Okay.
The homework.
Okay.
The homework.
Okay. So if there's any of you out there that are teachers, guess what? I don't think they're looking forward to the homework. All right. One of the things that I want you guys to be able to talk about, and if it makes it easier to talk about it, if you need to kick me out, go right ahead. You guys can run the show if you want. But I want to talk about communication. Okay, the most difficult thing as you become teenagers is maintaining the same level of communication with the parents. You guys are changing. We as parents need to recognize that you're changing, and That's a really hard balance to make. So now why don't you tell the listeners out there, what would you suggest to parents listening as to how to get their teenager to work hard in school and to be the best that they can be? What would you suggest that they would do, not just from motivating, but just the communicating part of it?
You know, talk to them, but like how me and my dad do, where we play Madden, we find... He finds the stuff that I like to do, and then he communicates through that, Madden and football and just pretty much anything I do, motorcycle, all that.
Okay. Chase, Blaze? Any suggestions on communication? Or are you actually saying that I just do such a great job, there's nothing that you could even suggest to anybody? I think this is where I get kicked out.
I think, yeah, we can take over the show.
You're going to kick me out now?
Yeah. Yep.
All right.
So
okay, then work on that question. I'll give you one more question, and it is, what would you say are the biggest mistakes parents make in dealing with their teenagers? And with that, I will leave the room.
All right. Well, I'm going to go with the... We'll go on that first question that we were talking about with the communication. And yeah. So, like, you gotta have a good bond with your parents. That's probably the easiest way.
Yeah.
You gotta make sure you gotta have that good bond so that we could, because it's easy for kids to tell with their parents if they trust them, tell them anything. Blaze?
Yeah.
What about communication? What about you? How do you and your parents communicate? Through, like, fun things, like I said, or...
Yeah.
Like what?
Motorcycling?
What about you, Chase?
Vacations, just talking, hanging out by the TV.
Nice. Me and my dad also go fishing a lot. We do that almost every weekend. We go about 2 times a week.
Yeah.
Go off, like, the Huntington Beach Pier. Have fun with that. It's pretty fun.
Yep.
So, and then the next question, which is, what do the parents have most problem, or I mean, what's the biggest mistake parents have with teenagers?
I'll let you start off.
Or how about you, Blaze? You got anything on that one?
Nope.
All right. I'm gonna go with probably like maybe being overprotective. Yeah, that's a definite one. Yeah. A lot of my friends' parents are pretty overprotective, and you gotta be protective of your kids, but you gotta let them have fun, do different things. They're not gonna have a lot of friends if you don't let them go out at night and do things. You just gotta kind of trust them.
Yep.
Work out a situation.
Yep.
You guys gonna add anything on that one?
No, you're pretty much covering it.
Pretty much covered in it.
Yep.
No mistakes at all?
Nope.
What about being in their face too much? Parents being...
Just let them... it's good to be kind of strict and not to... just let them do some things and then...
All right, here comes...
I'm back.
Here comes our host of the show again.
Okay. All right. They made a motion to the window for me to come back, so I am back, and we're going to take a break. We're going to give you a little bit of music, and we will be back in about 2 minutes.
Bye.
Bye.
Later.
Hi, who's calling?
Jenny.
Hi, Jenny. This is Alan Cardoza, and you're on with Answers for the Family.
Hi, Alan. This is Mason's grandmother.
Well, hello. How are you?
I'm fine. How are you?
I'm doing good. I need to let you know you have become the first call-in person that I have where I've taken a call. So
woohoo!
So I didn't know how to do it while the song was going. So that's been rather unique for us. So
everything is sounding great.
Thank you. We really appreciate that. So do you have some questions for these great guys?
I just know all three of them, and all three are amazing. But I also work at a high school, so I think I'm really learning from them on how to deal with high school kids and what to help them with also.
That's great. That's great.
So I really appreciate this.
Okay, well...
So just tell the guys hi for me.
They can hear you, so you guys...
Hi, guys.
Hi.
Hi.
I promise not to embarrass you, as if I've already done that. Okay, bye-bye.
All right, thank you. Bye now.
Bye.
Bye.
Okay, let's go back to finishing the song, and we'll be right back. We're back, and I believe the boys were talking about communication, what parents can do to communicate better, maybe what teachers can do to communicate better with them. And they've asked me back in the room, so I guess I'll continue to moderate. From the standpoint of communication, I mean, it's the biggest thing as far as dealing with your parents, dealing with your teachers, and everybody makes mistakes at it. So, you know, don't feel like if communication is not going well that it's all on you. Okay, it could be on anybody. We all make mistakes with communication. In fact, I've even I grabbed some headlines of just poor communication of journalists, and these are people with degrees that are working for newspapers and have done some pretty poor communication. And these are actual headlines from U.S. newspapers. And one of them is that local high school dropouts cut in half. Okay? Now, I don't think that they're actually taking dropouts, people that have dropped out, and cutting them in half. But you might want to think about that if you're ever thinking about dropping out. No. I mean, what they're talking about is that the dropout rate is what they meant to say. Okay? But one little change in communication, leaving out one word, all of a sudden, that could be pretty scary. I'd like to go to a school where it sounds like that they're going to start doing the chainsaw massacre or something, if they're going to start cutting people in half. Another one that came out, again, because school is starting, there's been issues about not enough nutrition in the foods and stuff that they're giving at school. So I think you guys know that they're trying to put more nutritious snacks in.
Yeah, they've already done, like, they took out sodas and... Yeah, like candy. They used to sell candy, and yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So it's getting better.
Right. Well, one of the headlines in regards to that said, kids make nutritious snacks. I don't think they mean eating kids, okay? But, I mean, I don't think it means they taste like chicken. But they've got another one. There was another headline that I read that it said that the juvenile court to try shooting defendant. I think they meant that they're going to try them, as in put them on trial, not that they're actually going to try to shoot them. But again, it's that might not be considered a fair trial. But anyway, so in the same sense, when it comes to communication, understand that it's not all on you. And if the parents aren't communicating well, let them know that. Another example of communication, a poor communication that I've used before, has to do with a case that I had where we had I think he was 13 or 14 at the time, but he was a boy who had gotten in trouble for smoking marijuana. And his parents said, if you ever do something like this again, you're going to be grounded for life. Okay. Well, he got caught at school smoking cigarettes with some of his friends. His belief was that he would be grounded for life. So he got home before his parents did. He stole the family car. He took off. He had taken some money. He ended up, by the time we found him, he had wrecked the car. He had a broken leg. He had done heavier drugs. And he'd been robbed. I mean, all of these things happened because he miscommunicated what his parents were going to do. When I interviewed the parents said he was caught for smoking cigarettes. He was going to be suspended from school. I mean, he would have been grounded for a week or two, and that would have been that. It was not the same to them, but he misunderstood what it was and did something so outlandish that he then really was in trouble, both physically and mentally, in having to deal with all of that. So if you're not sure, just ask. The parent says something. What does that mean? You know, what does that really mean, you know, for me? So do you guys have any examples of maybe some miscommunication?
My dad does that a lot. He goes, you'll be grounded for life if you do that. But I think I know that he's not.
Exactly.
Well, I'm not going to go jack a car and leave.
Right. Yeah, but you get it. But what I'm saying is that a lot of people don't, you know, they don't. That's part of, you know, you and your dad have a good relationship. You communicate well. You understand what he means by that. But that, you know, a lot of parents don't. So one of the other things I know just before you guys kicked me out of the room, I think we were talking a little bit about the things that you like to do and how that becomes a bonding issue with your family, right?
Yes.
You know, okay, Mason, you talked about, you know, you're playing video games, but you're playing it with your dad.
Yeah.
In fact, I believe you also pointed out that you are wrecking him at it.
Oh, yeah. Every time. He's beaten me maybe 3 times, and we've played like 13, 14 times. I've beat him all the other times.
Oh, I'm sure if he's listening, he's loving this right now.
Yeah, he always blames it on the game, but we know it's not the game. You know.
But anyway, so continuing along that line of the things that you like to do. So what you guys are saying is that if the parents can get involved in the things that you want to do, it's going to keep you from maybe going out and trying to find other people to do that with.
Yeah.
Is that right?
Yeah, okay. Exactly.
Okay. So anyway, Chase, share with us some of the things that you like to do.
Dirt bike. And yeah, I dirt bike with my dad, and
that be me.
Yeah. Airsoft, paintball, it's like team effort and stuff. And that's pretty much it. Oh, and we go on vacations and go to Laughlin, and yeah.
That's good. Blaze?
I like going to Laughlin, riding my buggy around, and playing video games.
Okay. Well, we know that with the vacations, both with me and with your mom, you know, you guys have a lot of fun, and we're involved with you. I know with the video games, obviously, I know I'm not as involved, but it doesn't mean that you guys couldn't maybe teach me one here or there. Now let's going more about the paintball and the airsoft. You guys were talking a little bit about it on the ride up here. What are some of the things that you would like to set up to do?
We'd like to set up like a buggy and like make it like a tank. Or yeah, like put stuff on it.
We were going to secure wood around it and prop out a little hole on top and make a two-man tank out of our little buggy. So next time we go up to the woods, have a nice little airsoft war. Mm-hmm. Wreck people.
Yeah.
Or in our backyard.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know that we'll be able to put a tank in the backyard, but but I think you can. Now, Blaze, I know that you want a ghillie suit. Tell everybody what a ghillie suit is.
It's a suit that is covered in these, like, fake leaves. So then you can lay on the ground, and people just think it's a pile of leaves, and then you could stick, like you could have a sniper and just shoot them.
Speaking of the ghillie suit, me and my brother Sefton Clevenger, he's 9 years old, and we were at my mom's house, and I just decided to make a ghillie suit, and so we went out in the backyard. We cut off a bunch of leaves off the tree, taped it around our legs, our stomach, our arms, and whatnot, and we had ourselves a homemade ghillie suit.
There you go. All right. Okay, now let's talk about some more things. I know, Mason, I know that you're playing football. I know you also did a lot of skating as well. What made you want to do the transition from skating, which is essentially a solo sport, to a team sport like football?
I don't know. I just love football. It's so fun. I just always love football. It's just everything about it. And I've been pretty fast my whole life, so I knew I'd be pretty good at it. And so I just decided to do football. I've asked my dad pretty much my whole life, but he's always said that he doesn't know about tackles. So we did flag for a while I was still skating. We did flag football. And then after that, he decided to let me, and I've been playing football for about 3 years now.
That's great. And as captain of the team, you should be very proud of that.
Yeah.
Now, what position are you playing?
Running back, and now I'm going to play strong safety.
Strong safety. Good. I think that's a good position for you.
Yeah.
So, Chase, tell us a little bit about your individual sport of karate.
Just a green belt, and that's it.
Okay, and the next belt you'll be going for?
Brown.
All right. About how far away are you from that?
Not too far.
Okay. Okay, now, do you have a team sport in mind? Closer.
No, not really. Maybe football, but yeah.
Okay. Yep. And Blaze? Move close to that mic and tell us, what sport are you interested in?
Fencing.
In fencing. Okay. Now, what made you start liking that?
Watching too many medieval movies and Braveheart.
That's what I thought your answer was going to be, because you've recently been playing this video game called, what is it called?
Stronghold.
Okay, tell us a little bit about Stronghold. Because I thought that the reason you were now getting involved or wanted to do fencing is because in Stronghold there is a lot of fencing and a lot of use of swords. So I actually thought I was leading you to that. But so tell our listeners a little bit about Stronghold.
Stronghold is this game where you order your armies to attack the other castles and stuff.
Okay, but I think it's a little more than that. I mean, don't you have to? You have to set up a whole community.
Yeah.
You have to be able to feed them. What else?
You have to put like hunters, and if people start leaving your castle, that means they don't like it, and there's not enough food or something. Yeah.
And you have to set up alliances to help protect you?
And also, if your king dies, then you lose.
And is the king you?
Yep.
Okay, I like that. All right. What other subjects would you guys like to talk about? Okay, how about as far as with the skating? I know that, Mason, you did skating for quite a while. You were sponsored at one time. Tell the parents a little bit about that, because I think skating gets a bad rap sometimes.
Yeah, I was. I started skating when I was 5 years old. My friend said that he could beat me in skateboarding, and he had just started, so I decided that I was going to beat him. And then once I started getting into it, I started getting good, and I decided to go with it, and I got sponsored. I was on Vans and a couple other companies, and I was doing contests. At one point I was the state champion of California for Castle, and then but I skated about till I was like 11, but the whole time I was having fun, and then the last year when I stopped, don't know, it was just a little bit of, it was just kind of wearing off. I just kind of, I don't know, I got burned out, I guess.
Now, what's the misperception that that parents or adults may have about skaters in general?
That they're always just like little hoodlums and do their graffiti and whatnot. They do all that and they just skate everything, kind of ruin everything. But that's not what it's about. At least with all the kids I skated with, I was skating with sponsored kids. I was skating with kids that were really good, and like none of them, like a lot of them, most of them never did that. They always just skated parks and skated where they could, and then just having fun with it. Not.
That's good. See, we can point out some things to people that they may not have thought, so that we don't want people having misperceptions of what's going on out there. Now, one of the other things that I did, I pulled up some current event things so that we could discuss them if need be. And one of the things that, you know, we just finished with the Olympics, you know, and with the Olympics, you know, we as Americans did very well. We got 110 medals. It's something to really be proud of. But it also brings a lot of cultures together, and it's a window to the world. It allows us as Americans to see how things happen in other countries. And I like to hope that it allows us to really appreciate what it is that we have. There was some articles about some of the athletes that when they're done and they go back to their country. There was one girl that was a runner, and she was going back to I believe it was an African country. And she was going back to their two-room hut where they have seven family members that live there. It's their mother and the rest, like mother, uncle, and the rest are kids, so her six siblings. Her father had been killed in a war that had happened in that area where rebels had gone in and killed a lot of people in the village. I mean, we are so blessed here to be able to have the things that we have and the things that we do. In school, are you guys learning more about other countries and some of the things? And do you feel that it's being presented to you in such a way that you can't appreciate more of what we have? Or do you feel like the news is presented to you in such a way because of some of the political agendas that it doesn't make you feel as proud of who we are?
That's a tough question to answer.
But, yeah.
We'll go with Chase. Chase, what do you think on that one?
Actually, I'll pass it on to Blaze.
I'll pass it back to Chase. Okay. No passbacks.
All right.
Okay, guys, I'll tell you, first of all, it's not ping pong, and I apologize. That was probably a pretty long, drawn-out question. I think the main thing is that, you know, do you feel that what you see in the news, you know, makes you feel proud to be Americans?
Yes, it does.
Okay.
Not necessarily in the news that I watch on TV. It's mostly just like, they just show pretty much bad things that happen. But like stuff at my school, it seems like it does make me feel proud, because like it's usually showing us that we can help, and we have people down there that are helping and trying to make an effort to help and whatnot.
Okay, well, that's good. So what I'm hearing from you is that the news really is portraying things pretty negatively, but yet your schools are trying to focus on the positive and make you feel proud of who you are and who we are as Americans.
Yeah. Like just this past week, I went to this thing called Viking Voyage, and like, we did a whole bunch of stuff, like, helping each other, we played a lot of games, like, friendship games, and how you had to use teamwork to, like, grab something, use other people.
All right. That sounds good. I did pull off a piece of, like I said, you can hear everything. Why don't you just move that down? There we go. I pulled off something off the internet, and I wanted you guys' opinion of it. This is an article, and it talks about a 12-year-old girl. It says that 2 months ago, at the start of the school vacation, 12-year-old Reem was forced to marry her 30-year-old cousin. Now, this is in the country of Yemen, which is it's a Middle Eastern country. What do you guys think about that? I mean, I know what I think of it as an adult, but I'm curious. I mean, you know, Blaze, you are 12. You guys are 14. You know, what do you think of these girls being in a situation to where they have no choice?
No, that's kind of, that would suck really bad, but I don't know what I would do in that situation.
I would run away.
Okay. That makes sense. And in fact, there's two girls that they talk about. The other girl is 10, and she had been forced also to marry someone. You know, but these are the types of things that, you know, to me, I think that if we within our country can make sure that people understand that these are things that still happen in other parts of the world, and we need to be so thankful that we have a situation and that we have laws and such that keep these things from happening, that allow you guys to have a childhood, have fun, enjoy what it is that you get to do, and not be in a situation to where you know, because of poverty and such, that you have no choice, that your family has no choice, essentially, to sell you to someone else.
Yep.
So, and another thing that I know I've discussed with you guys, and I'm curious as to if you've thought any more about it, but remember I've told you that one of the things that I would like you to do when you graduate high school, you know, is to take a round-the-world pass, travel around the world, check out other countries and such for, you know, whatever, 3 months or something before you go to college. What would you guys like to do? What would you like to see if you had a round-the-world pass and a ticket that allowed you to fly anywhere you wanted? What would be the things you would most want to go do? Where would you want to go?
Surf in Australia.
Okay.
Costa Rica.
Okay.
All the, like, tropical stuff and whatnot. And then, yeah, that's pretty much it. Just all the tropical. Maybe Alaska, just to fish there. Catch me a marlin.
There you go. So we've got fishing and we've got surfing. Guys?
Go dirt biking places. Yeah. Go around the world and, yeah, just find good places. Probably, yeah.
Okay. So to go, you want to do a lot of dirt biking in other countries.
Yeah, or just...
Blaze?
Go to Fiji.
Okay, and what would you like to do at Fiji?
I don't know.
You just want to see it? I mean, that's great. Lots of people go places because they want to see it. So you want to see it, you want it to be, you just want to be on an island?
Yeah.
Okay. But one that's a little less populated than, say, Hawaii?
Well, I go to Hawaii a lot, so I just want to see Fiji, see what it's like.
Okay. All right. Well, you know what, guys? Believe it or not, we are almost out of time. Can you believe that almost an hour has gone by in a blink of the eye?
Mm-hmm. No.
Okay. So, is there any other things that you guys would like to touch on?
No, I'm good.
You're good? Okay, we actually have about a minute and a half. So, let me ask a quick question in regards to peer pressure. I know you guys brought up peer pressure earlier. I think Mason brought it up in suggesting to Blaze what you want to avoid. I did pull off some questions in regards to that, and... I've got some questions. There was one in regards to peer pressure. What do you think is the what is the biggest problem in regards to peer pressure? In other words, why do you think it is so powerful?
Because your friends do it, or if older kids that you admire and they do it, then you're like, oh, I want to be cool. I want to do that.
Yeah, you want the older kids to, you know, be with you and say that kid's cool. Well, he's my favorite freshman and whatnot.
Yeah.
And okay. Yeah, to me, it Not necessarily like the first time, but like after a while, I think it would usually start to kick in.
Yeah.
So, what do you think is the best way for someone to avoid that? So now, let's say that you're now passing on to Blaze or to 12-year-olds. What is the best way for somebody coming in the 6th grade and the 8th graders are saying, hey, come on back here behind the bungalows and smoke a cigarette, or hey, you know, why don't you come over here and, you know, we'll show you how to steal something out of backpacks or something like that. What is the best way that you can say no and still maintain your coolness?
No, I'm good. I'm good. I don't want to do that.
No, I know that you don't want to, but how, you know, what I'm saying is you are two guys who've done a good job of avoiding it, to where you haven't been sucked into that, but yet you still remain very popular with, you know, within your own group and the kids older than you. What would you tell those younger than you on how you can answer that and still maintain your status?
You just need to say no, almost. You'll still be cool or whatnot. You just gotta say, you know, that's just not my thing. It's just, I'll just go hang out with my other friends or something. Be like, I don't know, it's just not me.
Okay.
Or even if you're really sucked in, just say that. Just say that. Your parents will kill you. Mm-hmm. Just like say that your parents are crazy and that they'll find out they're crazy like that.
Okay. No, but that's good. What you're doing is you're giving options. And as my boys know, I'm the options guy. I love options. You're giving them an option from the standpoint of saying either, you know, it's just not what I'm about and you're standing your ground, or you're saying, you know, I'm not judging you guys. If that's what you want to do, that's fine. But my parents will kill me. I will be dust. You know, so that still gives you a way out to where you're not judging them. And I think that's one of the biggest problems when somebody is trying to get you to do something you don't want to do or shouldn't do, is when you say that you're not going to, is they feel as though you're attacking them, or you're, you know, you're somehow ripping into what they're doing and suggesting that, you know, that they're idiots or something. And you don't have to do that by doing it the way that you've said. Either it's just not your thing, or there's another way, you know, another way to approach it, to where it's somebody else is going to get on you. All right. Is there anything that you guys would say? We've gone a little bit over. Is there anything you guys would want to say? You've got an audience out there. Either something you want to tell parents to better deal with their teens, or for the few teens out there, you want to give them a big cheer or something?
Go Vikings.
Okay.
Because I'm going on a trip soon to go fishing, and taking my friend Jake, I'm just going to tell him that I'm going to catch more fish than him and shake and bake.
There you go. Okay. Anybody else want to say a shout-out, a hi to one of your friends?
Hello.
No. But name them.
Hi, Mom.
There you go.
Hello to anybody who's listening that is my friend.
Okay. How about Seth, then?
Hi, Seth.
Hey, Quint?
Hey, Quint.
Okay, if there's no more shout-outs, we are out of here. Thank you, guys. I hope you had fun.
Thank you.
Those of you listening, I hope you enjoyed it. And okay, and
thank you very much.
Okay, and Elvis has left the building. We're out of here.
Bye.
Bye.
Later.
Bye.
Listening to Answers for the Family with Alan Cardoza.
Alan Cardoza.
Only on LA Talk Radio. You just found the very best in original talk radio broadcasting on the internet. It's LA Talk Radio. We say what we want.